Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. How it illuminates the way, Lord, so we can navigate, God. Navigate daily. Oh, it's so tough, Lord. Navigate daily through a fallen and broken and dying and decaying world. God, but you didn't have us guessing and fumbling for a light switch, God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are light, and in you there is no darkness at all. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to think, how to pray, how to love, how to do everything that we need to do, God. We don't have to guess. We just have to be obedient. Speak to us now through your word, Lord. Not just information and revelation, Lord. Let it lead to transformation, to transform life. So we thank you, we bless you, we love you, because you are the bread of life that's come down from heaven and given us life eternal in paradise with Christ. And we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you would, JL, let's go to Revelation, not quite. Let's go to John 6:40. Let's start there. But what I was going to say, we're going to start as I'm studying, God was giving me revelation on this whole chapter, this whole conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples and with those that are following. Okay, I hope you've made a note that they are in the synagogue. All right, look, I got all kind of notes today. I was trying to study and God just kept giving me stuff. So you got to forgive me if I'm going to start reading some things. But all right, so here we start off with the revelation. Here's the first revelation. Jesus is in the synagogue teaching. Jesus is teaching the New Testament in an Old Testament setting. So understand that right now. He's in the synagogue. He's trying to tell them about the bread of life that's come down from heaven. He's trying to give them the New Testament, Jerry, but he's in an Old Testament setting, Maurice. He's in his temple. So he's trying to teach them about Christ, and they're still stuck on the law and tradition. That's why they're having this conversation, and that's why they're having it hard to understand. Oh, here is the other revelation. We have the benefit of this. Why? Because we're on the other side of the resurrection. Let me say that again. We're on the other side of the resurrection. He's talking to them while they're there. They didn't get it. And remember, we'd have the conversation, who has it better, them, the cloud and the fire, the cloud by day, the fire by night. If we saw that, we would serve God, but we're on the other side of the resurrection. Jesus Christ has resurrected. There are some of us that have gone to Israel and been inside the empty tomb. So we're on the other side of the resurrection. So we have the benefits, if you would, to kind of peek behind the curtain and see what's going on and go, oh, wow. Now it makes sense. They didn't have that. What do you mean, Pastor? Okay, so here's how we frame it. JL, take us to 6:52. So let me frame it, then I'll go back. John 6:52, say amen. All right, so here's the Jews. They're arguing with each other. They're fighting amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? 53, then Jesus said unto them, I guarantee you, verily, verily means Jesus is saying, I guarantee you, except you eat my flesh, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Oh my, are you kidding me? See, we understand that now because we're on the other side of the resurrection. He's talking communion. He's talking covenant. But to them, they thought he was a cannibal. Talking about what? Eating flesh and drinking blood. They thought he was crazy. All right, so make another note, okay? Since we're on the other side of the resurrection, this makes perfect sense to us, but not to them. So here's the other revelation. Either Jesus was Lord, he was a lunatic, or he was a liar. People say, oh, no, I believe in Jesus. He was just a good man. Stop right there. This dude is talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. And if he wasn't the Lord and Savior, then he's a lunatic. Because if somebody, hey, I want my steak cooked well done. I don't want to see no blood in my steak. Sister Irene, I don't. Okay? So, and Sister Tara, I don't. Okay? Now, if I'm coming to you and say, hey, Tyra, we're going to eat some blood and we're going to drink some blood and eat some raw flesh. Exactly. You crazy. You can't say Carter's a good man. You got to say something's wrong with Carter. Carter's lost it. Brother Stanley, Carter's lost it. So don't let people just tell you that Christ was, he's not, he's radical. This is some radical stuff. This makes absolutely no sense to them. But we get it because we're on the other side of the resurrection. He's trying to tell them, he's trying to teach them about the covenant, the New Testament covenant that's coming. I also have written down, you and I are teaching, this is what you and I are teaching. You and I are teaching, okay, let me go back. Jesus is teaching the New Testament in an Old Testament setting. You and I are teaching life in Christ to a dead, deceived, and blind mindset. People. So we have to know what we're dealing with. We have to know what we're up against. That's why people look at us like we're crazy when we're talking about there's life in Christ, that he died for our sins. We're teaching life in Christ, but they're dead, deceived, and their mindset is blinded. They were stuck in the old, and Jesus was trying to teach them the new. So let's pick it up at verse 40. Just do a quick review, or maybe a not so quick review. Verse 40, and this is the will of him, the will, this is the purpose. This is the desire of God. This is God's purpose that sent me, that every one of you that sees the Son, that experienced God and trust on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise you up at the last day. Amen. That's good news. So no, if you ever want to know what is God, how does God feel about us? God loves us. He cares about us so much that his purpose, his desire for sending Christ is that we would experience Christ and that we would trust in God and trust in Christ so that we would have everlasting life. That is the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's it. No other way. And then the last day he will raise him up. So that's what this whole thing is about. It's having life in Christ. Anything outside of that is we can waste a lot of time and with other things. Three questions. I think I gave them to you before that everyone has to answer and people run from every day. Question number one, where do I come from? The Bible answers all these, by the way. Number one, where do I come from? Number two, why am I here? And number three, where do I go when I leave? Three questions. When you ask people, that's too deep. People don't want to go that deep. They don't want to talk about that. So they want to deflect. I shared in Bible study that they say one in three people believe in reincarnation. That's just worldwide. So that means every time I count three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, somebody in here believes in reincarnation, like you coming back. You're not. After you die, you were judged. We stand before God. Neither you go to heaven or hell. Either paradise and Christ are separated from Christ. And even with that, we were talking Wednesday night, and Brother John was saying, well, even if you do believe that and you're coming back, who decides what you come back as? God? God say, okay, you didn't get it right, Brother Ivy, so you got to come back as a pigeon. Okay? Really? I mean, Christ is trying to make it as plain as he can. We know that the number one fear, y'all, what's the number one fear that people have? They fear of dying. Well, I don't know what happens. What do you mean you don't know what happens? It's right here. We got eternal life in Christ. You close your eyes on this side, you wake up in paradise with Christ. So why are we afraid of that? We don't trust God. We read it, but we don't believe it. We don't trust it. Jesus is making it plain right here. Then verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread of life which came down from heaven. Make a note, Jesus Christ came down from heaven. He said, don't miss that. No one else can make that claim. We had the meeting with the men this morning. And we were talking about how the Mormons try and say that we were in heaven. We were babies in heaven, then we come down here. Come on, folks. I mean, if you don't know your word, you're caught up. Christ is the only one that came down from heaven. And see, they're murmuring and say, wait a minute, think about that, family. That's what I'm telling you. Either he's Lord, he's a lunatic, or he's a liar. He's saying, I was in heaven with God, and I came down here to tell you about it. Are you serious? Nobody else can say that. Buddha can't say it. Confucius can't say it. Muhammad, none of them. Jesus is way above. He separated himself from the crowd. He said, I was in heaven with God, and I came down to tell you about it. I'm the bread of life. You eat my flesh, you drink my blood, you'll never die. Don't let people tell you he was just an ordinary person. He was a good man. No, he wasn't. He said he was in heaven with God and he came down. If he wasn't, then he's a liar. A good man is not walking around lying. I don't know any good men who tell a lie all the time. It was a guy in the neighborhood, Tom the Bomb. Every time Tom, man, he lied. He never stopped. It was comical. It was comical. They tell us all kind of, just everything. You don't say, oh yeah, he's a good man. No, he lies all the, he's a liar. I don't even know what that was about. But that's what he was. And so if Christ didn't, if he wasn't in heaven with God, then he's a liar. He's not a good man. Verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven? All right. They get it. They're saying, dude, we know your mama and your daddy. It's no way. And then Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, stop murmuring among yourselves. Look at this. No man can come to me, and I'm way ahead of myself. No man can follow me except the Father which has sent me draw. And that word draw means compel, prompt, urge, lead, to drag off. Some of y'all, God had to drag y'all off some stuff to save y'all. That's a good thing. Amen. But he said, you can't come, we can't come to God unless God compels us to come. So as you're praying for people, pray that God would compel them, that God would urge them, that God would prompt them, that God would lead them, that God would drag them off some stuff and bring them to himself to be saved. Pray for people to be dragged off stuff. So I have a couple of read this, and since Sister Kathy is back, I need to read this. It says, people still murmur and complain today. Remember, if you're murmuring and complaining, remember your problem isn't with people, it's with God. Because you don't trust God. You don't believe that God has placed people into your life to minister to pray for, to keep you humble. Somebody say amen. My wife and I were talking about our grown kids, not you, Dale, the other two. And I'm telling you, man, anybody have kids? Let me see, anybody have kids? Anybody ever seen a kid? Okay? Man, I tell you, they keep you humble. They keep you praying. Just when you think that you arrived, your kids let you know you haven't. And you need to go back into your prayer closet and stay there. And I'm okay with that. I understand it. Because I'm trusting God with them just like I'm trusting God with everything else. You're complaining because you don't believe that God has placed people into your life to minister to pray for, to keep you humble, to keep your focus on God, to deal with your selfishness, and to allow you to practice the fruit of the Spirit daily. That's why. So you're complaining about all this kind of stuff. You're complaining because they just want food. They don't want, I don't want a lecture. Just give me money. I don't want a lecture. Amen. Are you going to do it or not? I don't want a lecture right now. I just want to know if you're going to do it. Anyway, people just want to eat the bread and receive the miracles with no strings attached. People want to shack up and play house without the responsibility of being in a covenant marriage. Just give me the bread. I don't want to hear all that other stuff. People want to be blessed by God and still do their own thing. Then they make up unfounded excuses about the Bible so they can feel comfortable in their sin. Truly offended when you and I talk about Christ being the bread of life. You don't want to hear it. They dismiss us as being brainwashed or crazy. Amen. And if you grew up the way I did, it's a good thing to have your brain washed. There's a whole bunch of junk in there. And we've lost it. You're a Jesus priest or a religious weirdo. And they want to talk about all the false religions out there, false prophets, and what the priest did to little boys and all this kind of stuff. Anything to deflect the light off of their darkness. They don't want to be exposed. So they murmur and complain about Christ, and eventually they want to kill God or take God out of everything. They have the Freedom from Religion organization. They're promoting some type of educational group. I use the word educational loosely. Promoting the constitutional principle of separation of church and state. Educating the public on matters relating to non-theism, which is different. Pretty much the same as atheism. In principle, there's no difference and should be no difference between non-theism and atheism. Non-theism means not believing in any gods, which is pretty much the same thing as atheism. And their belief is that man is on their own and will not be helped by any higher power. Aren't you glad that God saved you? Somebody say amen. Aren't you glad that God revealed himself to you? Otherwise, we're walking around thinking that is no God. Until we get in trouble, then what's the first thing they say? Oh, God. Their problem isn't with man. Their problem is with God. People want the sunshine and the rain and not serve the God that provides both. Jesus is talking some radical stuff, and we have to decide if we're going to live a radical, saved life. Not a reckless, but a radical. It's a difference between a reckless life and a radical life for Christ. They didn't complain about the food they got. Remember, he just fed 5,000. He made a perfect illustration. I'm the bread of life. They didn't want to complain about the food, but they want to complain about the road to salvation through Christ. They don't want to complain about the food or the open doors, but we want to complain about the road of salvation. So now we pick it up. Let's continue this in verse 45. It's written in the prophets. This is out of the book of Isaiah. Remember, Jesus is in the synagogue teaching. And this is Isaiah 54:13. Verse 45, so Jesus quotes scripture as he's in the temple teaching about God, so he's quoting the Torah and the prophets. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So Jesus told him, it's written in your word that you're going to be taught by God. It's written in the word, we're taught by the Holy Spirit, we're sealed and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He shall teach us all things, and we know he's the person of God, the third person of the Godhead. Yeah. So we're taught by God as well through the word. So Jesus is quoting scripture to them. Look at verse 46. Look how radical this is. Not that any man hath seen the Father, except he which is of God hath seen the Father. Well, he's talking about himself. And he says, I guarantee you, verse 47, I guarantee you, that if you trust in me, you will have everlasting life in paradise. I guarantee it. He goes on to say, I'm the bread of life. Family, when it comes down to it, all the other stuff doesn't matter. It's nice to have. And I've written here, it says, how we all get so distracted from the most important aspect of our being, which is our soul. Our eternal soul has to go somewhere after we die. Your soul is the part of you that doesn't dissolve upon death. Our bodies were created from dirt. That's why if you go through all the minerals and everything that's in the ground are in us, because we were created from dirt. I mean, it's scientific fact. So our bodies go back to the dirt, but then our soul, the part that doesn't dissolve, either goes into paradise with God or separated in hell. And it says, how are we so distracted that we don't spend any time on our soul? We live in the culture, society as whole. We live with no thought of our soul. We will be led by our emotions, our passions, our pride, our ego, our greed, our selfishness, our conceit. We'll be led by our fears, afraid of everything. Talking about you're a Christian and you're afraid of everything. Led by your fears. Can't even think about your soul because your fears are so overwhelming. You're led by your anger, your immaturity, your insecurity. And then the material manifestations are just a symptom of an internal issue. Right? Well, Pastor, what do you mean? So I got to have a big house to show everybody that I'm secure. Right? I got to wear all this and I got to have the best shoes. And so when people look at me, they can see how solid I am. But on the inside, I am so insecure, I got to put up this front. So the outside manifestations are just a symptom of an internal issue. And we never focus on our soul. And family, we don't get out of here alive. We have to think about death more than just when we go to a funeral. Well, that can't be the only time we say, oh, man, I guess I got to start thinking. Wow, this is something. Oh, yeah, I believe in reincarnation. Oh, he's probably back. People tell you, I come from a funeral, went home, and I saw a bird, and it sat on it, and I knew it was them. Look, oh, come on, family, come on. So we think about everything, but our soul, our eternal soul. And he's saying, I'm the bread of life. But Pastor, why are you spending so much time on this? Because you got to understand, when you walk out of here, you're going to encounter someone, and please share the love of Christ with them. And if you can't do anything on your job tomorrow, when God gives you the opportunity, you don't have to go and be all super Christian. I don't want you to do that. Just here's what I want you to ask. Just how can I pray for you? You know, I've been praying every morning. I've been praying and fasting every morning. Just plant the seed, because they're not going to understand that. But what they are going to understand is when you say, how can I pray for you? And most people are not that hard where they say, well, I don't want prayers. There are a few out there. And that's okay, but you plant that seed. And then when they come back and say, you know, thank you for praying for me. And then you say, then you share Christ with them. But just, you have to initiate the conversation. How can I pray for you? Jesus talks about in verse 49, said, your fathers ate the natural food, the manna, in the wilderness, and they are dead. The difference between the manna, the physical food that we get every day. Amen? That doesn't keep us alive. He switches to the spiritual. Remember, he's teaching the New Testament right here. They don't get it. We do. It's clear to us, but it's not clear to them. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. The bread from heaven. I am the living bread. Look at 51. How radical is this? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Make a note of that. Put a star by that. And I got some read this on this one. I know I do. My goodness. Look at what he's saying. He said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. So Christ was in heaven with God. All right? If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. When we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, when we surrender, submit our life to Jesus Christ, we live forever in paradise with God. He did the work for us. He died for our sins. We all have to give account for our sins. The bread of life came down from heaven, and he did that for us. When he resurrected, he died for our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I would give for the life of the world. And they had to think he was crazy. So So Jesus is telling us, he's coming from heaven. Put our focus, shift your focus. JL, take us really quickly to Colossians 3. Paul got it. Colossians 3 and 1, 1 through 4. It's the book we've been studying our men's discipleship class, which has just been too much. We barely get through one verse because it's that deep. But look at the connection. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Now make a note. Since Christ resurrected and he ascended up, where is Christ at right now? He's on the right hand of God. So where's Jesus at now? No, he's not in the grave. He resurrected. The tomb is empty. So on the right hand of God, and he's interceding. He's praying for us. And then look at verse 2, says set. So make a note, family. We're to seek and to set. Set your affection, set your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. Same thing Christ is trying to tell us. We have to shift our focus. We can't waste time on stuff that don't mean anything. We appreciate it. We can enjoy it, but it's not going to get us anywhere in the scheme of things, in the larger game of life. When we transition, the stuff here on earth stays here. Set your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. Look at this. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So Christ died for our sins. We're bought with a price. We're dead to sin. Our life is hid with Christ in God. So now our life should look like Christ. Carter should be out the way and you should be seeing Christ, more Christ-like. Carter's gone. And trust me, Carter needs to be gone. Somebody say, man, you know it ain't nothing good that dwells in us. Outside of Christ, we'd do anything. Just amazed every time I listen to the news and just stuff that's going on. What do you mean? We're capable of anything. Guy killed his wife yesterday with a machete. How do you do that? We see the evidence and the results of spiritual warfare. And both his kids were in the house. Now she gone and he gone, jail somewhere. And what about the kids? How do you do that? Trust me, Carter needs to be gone. Amen? Because aside from Christ, we're capable of anything. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, Christ has to be your life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. That's the beauty of it. We got to focus on stuff that really means something. Or either this doesn't mean anything at all. Either he's Lord, lunatic, or liar, bless you. And you got to come to grips with that. Who is Christ in your life? Then stop wasting your time if he's a lunatic and a liar. But if he's Lord, then you got to make some changes. You got to start letting people know. You got to start sharing the gospel. He's the bread of life. This stuff is going to pass. We're going to all be checked out. We talked about there's no babies in here, huh? Yeah, in 100 years, we all gone. 100 years, where we at? I hope we're rejoicing together. Pastor, why you got to be all involved? Man, I'm just saying, it's an urgency to this. Pastor, why you got to be morbid? It's the summertime. I know. But we have to understand, either this is real or it's not, family. And it's an urgency to it. Let me see if I have any more. Read this, Kathy, and I'm going to just close this down. It says, they didn't understand, but we understand being on the other side of the resurrection. we should fully understand what Christ is talking about and what he's done for us. They were arguing about Christ being the Savior of the world. We shouldn't. Jesus is saying in verse 53, I guarantee you that if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, wow, let me make it plain, let me read it again. Jesus is saying, I guarantee you, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't committed your life to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are not alive. You are dead in your sins. You are separated from God, and you will not fellowship with God here on earth or in paradise after death. This is the meaning of life. Everything else is a subtraction and distraction from eternal life. We get the best of both worlds. We get to fellowship with Christ here and in paradise. Somebody say amen. It's not like it's on the other side. No, it's here. We get to experience the abundant life in Christ here, and then we just transition to be with him. It just doesn't work that way. You can't just go about life, and people live 70, 80 years, don't want to have anything to do with God, and then they die, and we're saying rest in peace. They didn't live with peace, with the Prince of Peace. You don't just if you didn't spend your 70, 80 years and didn't want to have anything to do with God, why do you want to go be with him forever? You already made your decision. You told God, I don't have nothing to do with you. I'm me. I'm doing my thing. And then you're going to die and say, well, can you? I don't know you. God said, I never knew you. You didn't want to spend time with me. You don't love me. You didn't trust me. We spent no time together. It's kind of hard to have a relationship and you don't spend no time with the person. Okay, let's finish this up. Nothing else gives us life and purpose. All the other things, family, this is, make a note of this. All the other things that we do, all it does is give us a platform to share Christ with others, to share Christ with a lost and dying world. Everything that I do outside of even this right here, this just gives me a platform to share Christ with you. All the other things I do, I'm doing them, but I'm looking for a window. Who can I share Christ with? Who can I share the love of God with? Everything that I do gives me the platform to share Christ. Everything that you do. That's why you can't complain about your job or your family or wherever you are. It's a platform for you to share Christ with someone. Don't miss that. All right, let's finish this up. All right. And this is where Jesus just gets really radical, and we talked about this already. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drink my blood, what are you talking, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He didn't lost it. Somebody say amen. He's in the synagogue. These cats, this is a cannibal. This dude done lost his mind. Verse 56, and he just keeps saying, he that eateth my flesh and drink my blood dwells in me, and I am. He's talking about the covenant. Look at verse 57, underline, and the living Father, we don't serve a dead God. Underline it. As the living Father hath sent me, okay, so Jesus got sent by God, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, oh gosh, he lost me on that, he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. That's some radical stuff. He's in a synagogue talking about the church. They don't get it. Let me say it again. He's in the synagogue talking about the church, the resurrected Christ. And you say, well, Pastor, how do we eat? Well, we ask Christ to come into our heart. That's what saves us. That's the eating. That's the drinking of the blood, asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But we serve a living God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down, came down from heaven. Jesus came from, family, we got to make a decision. When we walk out of here, either he's Lord, lunatic, or liar. He said he came down from heaven. Your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He said that's the second time he said that. They ate the physical bread only. He is the spiritual bread come down from heaven. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. He's talking about eternal life. Look at verse 15. These things he said in the synagogue. He's teaching the church in the synagogue. They didn't get it. He's teaching a New Testament and Old Testament setting. We also see the difference between the synagogue and the beginning of the church. And remember, family, we're teaching life in Christ to a dead mindset. But don't give up. Pray for a renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why Paul said you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Pray for people to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. This is we'll pick it up next time. Ooh, after a message like that, you got to give an invitation. Everybody in here could be saved, but you got to give an invitation after that. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, oh my gosh. It's about being saved. For the youth that are in here, I know that many of you have already professed Jesus Christ, but make sure you understand that. When you're at school, people are doing all kind of crazy stuff. Start praying for their souls and share Christ. Those of us that are not so young and not in school, when we're on our job and they're talking politics and trying to get you baited into all this other foolishness, let them know, I serve a king. I serve a living God. I serve a king. How can I pray for you? Because you look like you're struggling. You look like you're all upset about nothing. How can I pray for you? But I serve a true and living God. I serve a risen Savior. And just plant that seed. And Lord, maybe someone's here today and say, Pastor, you've talked about Jesus coming down from heaven and being the bread of life that gives us eternal life. I've never really thought about what happens to me after I leave here. I thought I would come back, but as I read the word now, I see that I transition either to heaven or hell, either paradise or a lake of fire separated from God. It's not a scare tactic. It's just the word of God. Never prepared for us, prepared for Satan and the demons that got kicked out. They have to go somewhere. And here we are in the middle of a huge spiritual warfare. And Jesus Christ has come to let us know he is the bread of life. He resurrected so that we could be saved from death, hell, sin, and the grave. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I have the bread of life. I don't know what that means. I don't know if I'm connected to Christ, and I don't want to guess. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you've been saved by Jesus Christ, I want to pray for you right now. Elevate your hand if that's you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life because I've been sliding all around, wasting time with a bunch of stuff that doesn't mean anything, and people are dying and going to hell. People are dying all around me, and I got to understand the urgency of sharing Christ with someone. We come here to get refueled and refreshed and renewed and transformed to go out to infect and affect a dying world. So we come to church for. And if you need to rededicate your life so that you get back out there, knowing that Christ is seated on the right hand of God, rooting for you, praying for you, interceding for you, petitioning for you to endure. Because the race isn't given to the swift or the fast, but to those that endure. The struggles, the temptations, the distractions, the frustrations, the spiritual warfare. We got to endure all of it. It's not going away. So if you need to rededicate your life, that's between you and God. Lord, we thank you that your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We come clean right now, God. We got to do better. Help us to do better. It's not by works, but it's by your power and by your spirit, God. I'm not working to be saved. I'm working because I am saved. Not living by works. I'm living by the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the evidence that I am saved. So God, forgive us and thank you for giving us a second chance to be renewed and refreshed. There's no condemnation. No need to beat yourself up. It's just the enemy trying to play mind games with you, telling you if people knew what you were like, they wouldn't even talk to you, and that's okay. Because if you knew what we were like, you wouldn't talk to us either. So we're all even. Don't even worry about us. The grace of God, not of works. No one can boast about saving themselves. Don't you condemn yourself. It's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Get back and start walking in the Spirit. Get back to your prayer time each morning. Get back to your fasting time each morning. Get back to your worship and your praise and your word time each morning. Stay connected to God each morning. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Thank you for another opportunity to get it right. We decree and declare that you are Lord, not a lunatic and not a liar. But we got to make a choice. Because you were radical. Help us to be radically saved. Not recklessly, but radically with the wisdom of God. Share Christ with others. Bless your people. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Stand to your feet, give somebody a hug, and you are dismissed.